Välkommen till Hästveterinärerna, en podcast från Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health. I den här podden samtalar vi med specialister från olika områden inom hästmedicinen. Med det gemensamt att de delar vår och din passion för hästarna.
Välkommen till Hästveterinärerna, podden för dig som är veterinär eller djursjukskötare och arbetar med hästar. Jag heter Maria Williamson. I det här andra avsnittet med Michael Hewittson pratar vi vidare om magsår hos häst och fokuserar på hur man behandlar och förebygger magsår, både med hjälp av läkemedel och genom korrekt utfodring och management. I want to go on and talk a little bit about treatment strategies, both when it comes to management and pharmaceutical options. And I want to start with asking you, the ESGD and the EGGD, I mean, you mentioned in the webinars that they are separate diseases and should be treated differently and that you can't extrapolate from one to the other.
Yes.
But quite often they seem to appear at the same time or in the same individuals. So do you have any particular strategies here that when it comes to treatment that differs from when you have one or the other?
Another very good question. For those cases that have got both lesions, if you think about the risk factors for squamous gastric disease, and the big ones are, of course, intense exercise and management changes, specifically the amount of carbohydrate these horses are being fed, the amount of roughage they're being fed, and access to pasture. Those are the things that I deal with first, because actually none of those recommendations will have a negative impact on the healing of glandular gastric disease. Mm. So I tend to get those things right first. And when I rescope these horses, in a month's time, if usually what will happen in those cases is the squamous lesions will have healed. Very often the glandular lesions will have improved, but they're still there and require further treatment. And then at that point, once I'm happy that the owner has got those basic principles, management principles sorted out, I then look into a little bit more detail with respect to specific risk factors for glandular gastric disease. And I ask questions about, potential behavioral stresses, for example. So I think, from a management perspective, the two focuses of attention, the one is exercise. And if we assume a racehorse or competition horse, we know that they're going to have intense exercise and there's nothing you can do about that. So I usually recommend for those horses that they try and do the intense exercise in the afternoons. So the idea being that normally horses will eat most of their roughage during the day. So that by the time those horses exercise in the afternoons, there's a nice mat of roughage in the stomach and it's going to prevent that splashing effect. And in addition to that, then we know that for glandular gastric disease, it's about rest days. So if a horse has got both lesions, I would often recommend, in addition to what I've just said about exercising ideally in the afternoon or at least feeding some roughage prior to exercise, that they make sure that the horses have got rest days. And usually I would say they should have at least two rest days a week. And that's focusing specifically on the risk factors we know for glandular gastric disease. And then when it comes to feeding, as I said, the basic principles, as much access to free access to roughage as possible is the critical thing here. In addition to that, trying to manage the amount of non-structural carbohydrate that they take in. We know from Nana Luthson's work that These horses that receive large amounts of starch have an increased risk of squamous gastric disease. And so I try and manage that by, of course, getting them to either feed smaller quantities throughout the day or perhaps try and supplement some of their energy with fats and oils. There aren't any specific risk factors nutrition-wise for glandular gastric disease, but I think it just makes sense to provide owners with some recommendations for nutrition, irrespective of whether or not the horse has only got glandular gastric disease or squamous gastric disease as well, because it's not going to do them any harm and certainly will prevent those horses going on to develop squamous gastric disease if they didn't have it when I first saw it. So to answer your question in a long roundabout way, if they've got both lesions, I focus on exercise, recommendations for exercise. I focus on a nutritional management, specifically for squamous gastric disease. And then, once I've got that under control, I focus on behavioral stresses, with respect to glandular gastric disease specifically.
Mm. I guess also, I mean, the restricting of forage intake can also cause stress, right? So it's indirect something that would...
No, definitely. And we probably will touch on this a little bit later. The other challenge is turnout. You know, people sort of... You give this blanket recommendation that the horse should be turned out when it's got gastric ulcers. But the fact of the matter is that's not as simple as that. And actually there are some challenges to that. Perhaps we can get to that a little bit later in our discussion. But the take-home message is, you know, manage exercise as much as you can, understanding the underlying risk factors. So with squamous gastric disease, you know, it's all about the intensity of exercise and trying to limit the exercise. I would recommend ideally a maximum of 40 minutes of intense exercise a day, which is usually enough to achieve what racehorse trainers would need to achieve, and then rest days. And then, as I said, the feeding, specifically access to roughage and trying limiting your starch intake.
Mm. What about pharmaceutical? I guess then the treatment of the glandular ulcers would then just take the squamous ulcers with them.
Well, exactly. We know that currently, oral omeprazole has got a very good efficacy for squamous gastric disease. So you would expect if you can get the management and you're under control and deal with the risk factors, that when you rescope these horses with both lesions at 4 weeks post treatment, that the squamous lesions would have resolved. And then, you know, depending on what the glandular lesions look like at that point, that's when you would think about your plan going forward from a pharmaceutical management perspective. And from my lectures, you would have probably gathered, you know, if there's been absolutely no improvement at all, with oral omeprazole, then you might need to consider, alternatives. In those cases, we've talked about Misoprostol, bearing in mind that it's not a licensed product and there are challenges with regards to using it. If the horse has improved but it hasn't completely resolved, you know, then I recommend continuing on the same treatment and rescoping again in a month's time. And I think managing owners' expectations is really important because we know that in general, glandular gastric disease is going to take a long time to heal. And I think, you know, you can be very surprised if it's healed in 4 weeks. Most of the time it requires, you know, 2 to 3 months for it to heal properly. There are of course cases that heal very nicely in a month's time, but owners need to be aware that it's not going to get better in 2 or 3 weeks. And they need to be aware that it is often a disease that takes time to heal. We do know that if we talk about non-responders, that there are individual horses that have less acid suppression on the same dose of omeprazole than other horses. And that's the same in people. And they call them non-responders. And often those cases, if you've ruled out all the other reasons why the horse might not be responding, you know, management and you've been given the drug appropriately, you should consider that it might be a non-responder, an individual animal that requires a higher dose of omeprazole in order to achieve acid suppression. And a very nice little practical tip to do this would be to make sure that the owners, when you gastroscope the horse, that the horse is still on omeprazole treatment. So let's say you've prescribed omeprazole for squamous gastric disease and you're going to rescope in 3 weeks' time. Make sure that the owner's given the last dose of omeprazole on the morning prior to scoping so that we've got a steady state of the drug in the circulation. And then what I do is when I gastroscope the horse, I take a little sample of the gastric fluid and I just use some litmus paper and check what the pH is. And that'll tell you immediately whether the horse is suppressing acid appropriately or not.
Mm.
It's a very, very useful little trick, because if you've now starved the horse and it's on omeprazole, its pH should be above 4 at least. And if it's not, it means that your dose is not right. And those cases, you might want to increase the dose. And sometimes you could go as far as doubling the dose if necessary. So that's something also to consider for those non-responding cases.
It's very handy, I think. Then when we're on the topic of pharmaceutical treatment, then you emphasize in your lectures that the treatment with oral omeprazole requires fasting during the night, or at least that you restrict feed intake and it has to be given on an empty stomach. And this is very easy in theory. But what's your perception on owner compliance here? I mean, how do you deal with cases where, for example, an owner can't influence when the horse is being fed, if it's boarded, or in tricky cases? What's your advice here?
It's a real challenge. And before I answer that question, I think it's really important to reiterate how critical it is that the horse is medicated on an empty stomach. Because we know from the research that's been done on the pharmacokinetics of omeprazole that roughage in the stomach causes a significant drop in the bioavailability of omeprazole. And so if we don't get that right, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all that you end up with a horse that's not responding to the omeprazole. And I think we need to get that message across to owners just how important that is. To the point that I often say you might as well squirt that omeprazole out onto the ground, then give it to a horse if it's got a full stomach, because it's unlikely to do the job. How to get that compliance? I think one of the disadvantages, I suppose, of owners being far more aware of the risk factors of gastric ulcers. And when I say risk factors, I think specifically for squamous gastric disease, you know, that most owners will understand and we'd be very aware of the fact that you shouldn't starve a horse, you know, and if you starve a horse, it's going to get ulcers. But what they need to do is understand the normal circadian rhythm of a horse when it comes to ingesting forage. And there's some really good studies out there that have looked at a horse's ingestion behavior. And anybody that watches their horse carefully enough will know that between, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning, most horses won't be eating. They eat very little. And that's just natural behavior. And what that tells me is that, okay, it's a physiological state insofar as a normal, healthy horse will have an empty stomach in the early hours of the morning. So you're not going to be doing that horse any harm by keeping roughage out of the stable in the early hours of the morning. Mm. And what I usually say to owners is feed 80% of your roughage during the day and 20% of it at night. Put in the last 20% of the roughage just before you leave the horse and go home. That horse will then finish that by about 12 o'clock at night, and it'll have a natural period between 12 o'clock at night and the first thing in the morning where it has an empty stomach, but that's not going to do it any significant harm. And then you're going to ensure that when you come there in the morning, first thing you do is you medicate the horse with omeprazole. And here's the other really important aspect of this is once you've given the omeprazole, it's absolutely critical that you then do feed the horse after that. Because the way the drug works is that it's a prodrug, and it requires the proton pumps to be activated in order to work on them. And the way the proton pumps, which are the pumps that produce the acid, of course, are activated is by feeding. So the idea here is that you medicate the horse on an empty stomach. You give it between half an hour and an hour for the drug to be absorbed. The half-life's about 45 minutes or so. And then you feed the horse. So then what you're doing is you're activating those pumps, and then the omeprazole exerts an effect on the pumps. And I think if we can get that message across to owners that they're not doing any harm, It's counterintuitive because they go, oh my God, I don't want to starve my horse. Going to give it ulcers, but actually it's not. And, I think it's all about communication, like so many things in our profession. But I always try and explain to them that it's natural physiology of a horse and natural behavior that they're not going to eat in the early hours of the morning.
Does it make a difference in regards to the formulation of oral omeprazole?
No. The Buffett, if you think about the two most common formulations, the Buffett formulation, and then the enteric coated formulation, there is some evidence to suggest that the enteric coated formulation has a better bioavailability. But actually, if you look at the pharmacodynamics, meaning actually what the drug does at the level of the stomach, there doesn't seem to be any significant difference in acid suppression. So either formulation will do the same job, and both of them should be administered on an empty stomach.
Mm. You mentioned in your lectures the rebound acidity and that we might have to consider this when treating horses with especially ESGD. So can you tell us what is this exactly and how do we, what is it that we need to consider in this case?
Well, it's a really interesting, fairly recent research interest, I think, in equine gastric ulcer syndrome. In people for many years, it's been described that people that have been on long-term treatment with proton pump inhibitors like omeprazole, when you stop these drugs, that they get a thing called rebound acid secretion. And the reason for that is that the omeprazole has been inhibiting this hormone called gastrin, which is normally responsible for modulating or regulating acid secretion in the stomach. And because there's this lack of negative feedback, you get a thing called a hypergastrinemia. So gastrin concentrations become very, very high. And if you then stop the proton pump inhibitor, that high concentration of gastrin lasts for up to 2 weeks following discontinuation of the actual drug. And of course, gastrin is responsible for stimulating enterochromaffin-like cells to produce histamine, which then stimulates the parietal cell to produce acid. So you get this surge of acid production. And anybody that's scoped a lot of horses will recognize this, that, you might, for example, scope a horse several days after it's stopped omeprazole and be shocked that suddenly there's squamous gastric ulcers again, whereas before there were none and you were treating glandular gastric disease. Why are there squamous lesions now? And the thought is that this is related to rebound acid secretion, which occurs in horses as well. And actually, they've looked at this, and the horses definitely do show a hypergastrinemia following treatment with omeprazole. But what we don't know is, does that actually equate to horses getting increased acidity at the level of the stomach? We haven't looked at that in any detail yet. We do know that gastrin levels increase, but we don't know if that actually means that these horses get more acid secretion. And that's certainly work that needs to be done. So the take-home message is that currently we don't know if horses get rebound acid secretion like people do. There seems to be anecdotal clinical evidence that it does happen. But if you look in people, it's described in people that have been treated for long periods of time, months and months, if not years, not in short-term treatment. And if you think in horses, you know, most of the cases, it's short-term. And in those cases, and I can tell you there's some work that hasn't been published yet, that I'm aware of that has looked at this, and there's a short-term increase in gastrin, but that doesn't extend past about 8 weeks after. Mm. So horses that are treated in the short term are unlikely to develop any significant rebound acid secretion. But if you're treating horses for longer than eight weeks, which sometimes you might see with horses with glandular gastric disease or some competition horses that are treated prophylactically for long periods of time with omeprazole, there you've got to be more careful. And I think in those cases, it's more likely that they will have clinically significant rebound acid secretion. So my practical recommendation is, in the short term, you can just stop omeprazole without tapering the dose, because I think the likelihood of it being clinically significant is unlikely. If you have been keeping a horse on long-term treatment, then I would recommend tapering, and then I would go half the dose for a week and then a quarter of a dose for the week before stopping.
Mm.
For those horses that are treated in the short term, we do know that they still have high gastrin concentrations, and it's probably possible that for, let's say, 72 hours after you finish omeprazole, that they do suddenly have a surge of acid. And that's perhaps what we're seeing anecdotally when we scope these horses. So my recommendations would be extra vigilant in those first couple of days when you stop omeprazole treatment. So make sure that the horse has got access to good quality palatable roughage. Probably avoid intense exercise for 2 or 3 days after you stop omeprazole. Don't transport them. Give them adequate access to water so that you reduce the risk factors for squamous gastric disease occurring. But I wouldn't be tapering the dose in the short term.
I think that's very useful information, because it's something that I think you tend to not really consider or think about in horses. So you mentioned the prophylactic treatment with oral omeprazole. When and how should this be performed? What's your opinion there?
Prophylactic treatment with omeprazole, to answer your question, I don't recommend that you should be treating horses long-term with omeprazole simply to prevent ulcers. I think a far better approach would be to make sure that you manage the horses appropriately so that they don't have the risk factors that are going to cause the gastric ulcers. If you're going to use omeprazole prophylactically, I would suggest using a pulse dose approach, which means that you just treat the horse for a short period of time when there's a risk factor, a perceived risk factor that's going to increase the risk that also develops ulcers. So, for example, transport or a stressful situation like going to a hospital or something like that. Of course, we know that exercise is associated with the development of both squamous and gastric disease, but a glandular gastric disease. But of course, there are regulations that are going to prevent those horses being treated with omeprazole during competition anyway. But there are lots of other potential risk factors where pulse dosing with omeprazole would be appropriate. But the take-home message I would give is that omeprazole has got side effects, and I would avoid it being given long-term for prevention, but focus rather on management as a preventive strategy.
That sounds like sound advice long-term. I mean, you want to remove the as much risk factors as you can, right?
Yeah.
Tack för att du lyssnar på Hästveterinärerna. Om du gillar det du hör, glöm inte att trycka prenumerera i din podcast-app så att du inte missar några avsnitt. Berätta också gärna om vad du tycker genom att ge en recension. Vi tar gärna emot tips på kommande gäster och ämnen, och våra kontaktuppgifter finns i poddens beskrivning.